now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. There has been a lot of discussion recently about faster wage growth. An employment report released earlier this month indicates that average hourly earnings in the U.S. expanded 2.9% over the past year, the fastest pace since the early days of the recovery in 2009. But according to the Brookings Institution, average hourly earnings grew at their slowest pace since 2012 last year, at least when inflation is taken into account. Nominal wage growth, which is a measure that fails to account for inflation, has hovered in the mid-2% range for the past 3 years. Inflation accelerated in 2016 and in 2017, eroding much of the would-be gain in purchasing power. Even the recent acceleration in nominal wage growth comes with some caveats. Much of the gain came from wages attached to supervisory positions and financial services. The typical American worker only experienced an increase in average hourly earnings of 2.4%, not the 2.9% embodied in the headline. When adjusted for inflation, wages haven't moved much in several decades. On an inflation-adjusted basis, the typical worker makes less than 10% more than he or she did in 1973. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. When many of us were growing up, worker strikes were quite common in the U.S. Those strikes by workers came with demands for higher payment and better treatment. Strikes have become a rarity in recent years. According to recently released Labor Department data, last year, there were only 7 strikes or lockouts involving at least 1,000 employees. As indicated by writer Sarah Cheney, that represents the second lowest tally on records dating back to 1947. The lowest annual tally came during the recessionary year of 2009, when there were just 5 major work stoppages. From 2008 to 2017, there were a total of 129 strikes or employer lockouts involving more than 1,000 workers. That translates into an average of about 13 major work stoppages annually for a decade. To put this into context, the overall annual average since 1947 is 162 major work stoppages per year. One could speculate that the dearth of worker stoppages is due to broadly shared prosperity. But of course, wage growth has been soft in the U.S. for decades. A better explanation may be the declining strength of labor unions. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. It's nice to get a raise. It's nice to receive a bonus. Employers, of course, can choose to expand compensation using either device. But increasingly, one-time bonuses are the favored method. While people are unlikely to complain about receiving bonuses, the use of bonuses helps translate into slower hourly wage and salary growth. As indicated by writer Patricia Cohen, in 1991, spending on temporary rewards and bonuses for salaried employees, known as variable pay, accounted for an average of 3% of total compensation budgets. Salary increases amounted to 5% of total compensation budgets. But last year, one-time payments consumed nearly 13% of those budgets, while raises amounted to less than 3%. According to surveys conducted by Aon Hewitt, the practice of spending more on variable pay than on permanent raises took root during the 1990s. At that time, growing competition from abroad was placing greater pressure on companies to suppress price increases and production costs. Pay-for-performance bonuses emerged as a natural response. Companies could offer more money to keep and attract talent when profits were strong, but then easily pull back on compensation when business deteriorated. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. For years, America's unemployment rate has been falling. Over the past 4 years, the U.S. economy has added 10 million jobs. For much of that period, wage growth remained tepid despite elevated demand for human capital. Steadily, the U.S. economy has marched toward full employment. About 4 in 10 economists believe that the U.S. is already at full employment, while another large group believes that full employment is right around the corner. over the past 4 months for which data exists, the nation's official rate of unemployment has stood at 4.1%, an 18-year low. Last year, 17 states were closing in on record low unemployment for their states, according to a Reuters analysis of annual averages published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That compares to just 5 states in 2016. Economic theory would predict that states with such low levels of unemployment are likely to experience faster wage growth. Last year, fully 29 states and the District of Columbia experienced nominal wage growth of more than 3%. That compares to just 9 states in 2016. Maryland is now among the states experiencing better than 3% wage growth. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. A lot of people in America became millionaires last year. According to a new report from Phoenix Marketing International, last year, more than 400,000 U.S. households joined the Millionaires Club, the biggest jump in the number of households with more than $1 million in investable assets since 2010. As indicated by writer Eric Morath, the increase in millionaire households primarily reflects strong gains in the stock market last year. Investable assets include stocks, bonds, annuities, cash, and retirement and education accounts, but exclude real estate holdings. Last year, there were 7.2 millionaire households in America, which translates into approximately 1 in 17 families. Millionaire households control approximately 60% of all liquid assets in the U.S. Among the 50 states, the highest concentration of millionaires lived in Maryland for a sixth consecutive year. Among metropolitan areas, Washington, D.C. ranks third and Baltimore 20th in terms of the highest share of households with more than $1 million in investable assets. The fastest growth in the number of millionaire households occurred in Washington State, where the number of millionaires grew by nearly 10% in 2017 alone. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu.